So the scouts really don't sign. I mean, just a few of the scouts, they don't want to sign. I just recommended, I'd recommend some pretty good ball players. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, sent my reports in on them, and I'm sure that they read them.
Okay.
When I was with the Royals, though, I, one guy I'm really proud of, that Paul Spidlar.
Mm-hmm. I remember him, pitcher. I
saw him up in Morningside, and recommended him before I went back to the White Sox. They got him, and he turned out to be
Yeah, it was a pretty good pitcher.
Then two of them. And then they, when I was working for the White Sox, every year I went down to the international, I mean, went down to the instructional league. I run the instructional league for them. There's a lot of players I help get from Class A to the major leagues.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, one of the questions that we normally ask is, was the adjustment from playing baseball to life after baseball easy for you? But it sounds to me like you never left.
I don't know. Well, I didn't leave too much.
You were in baseball for 60 years.
I was still 60, but, well, 62 years or something like that. It wasn't, but, you know, I really didn't miss as much as I thought I would miss. Mm-hmm. I miss it a lot. I still go to games and watch it on TV and things like that. But I really didn't miss. I think I was tired of the idea of getting up in the morning and having to go somewhere and go. But I've been very happy in my retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to my wife. She keeps me busy.
Don, I got just a few more. Just going to do a little regression here. What was your favorite place as far as ballparks go?
Well, of course, my favorite, I guess, because I played there so many, St. Louis, I always loved St. Louis, the old St. Louis Park.
Sports.
And then the other park I really loved to play in was Wrigley Field. And that was my two plays that I really liked. I mean, I enjoyed playing there because I think they were my type of ballpark. So I could hit the ball in, you know, and hit because I wasn't a home run hitter. Mm-hmm. I always played good in those parks.
Sprayed the ball around. If you had pick the best umpire that you ever saw, who would it be?
I believe. Can I pick two or three?
Sure.
I think Bill Clem was the old umpire. He was really a good umpire and really right. I mean he was a good umpire, and I think Bill McGown was an umpire, and I think Bill Cal Hubbard. The three that I thought was probably, it was my kind of my choices.
Mm-hmm. And why would you say that those were the three best?
Well, because I think that they run the ball club. I mean, they run the ball game. When they walked out there, they was a boss of the ball game. And all you had to do was play, and they didn't make many bad calls either. I don't think. Of course, umpires have a lot of calls to make. But these guys, they give you the idea that they were sure of themselves. And they were sure what they did was right. And they didn't show off, and they didn't try to show a ball player up. They let you play the ball game, and they just handled it.
We talked about a couple of fights that the Cardinals used to have, and of course the big one with the Giants. But how about, did you ever get thrown out of a game?
Well, once or twice, I guess. I don't think I got thrown out of a ball game when I was playing, but I did after I managed to coach.
Mm-hmm.
Truthfully, I don't think I've ever thrown out a ball game when I was playing.
Yeah.
I had tough enough time trying to play without trying to umpire.
You said that you roomed 1 year with Warnke when you were with the Cardinals.
Yes.
But I want to ask you about the two guys that you roomed with in 44. One was Krivich and the other one was Vern Stevens. Krivich has something to do with drinking in a priest, and then Vern Stevens, I guess, was a ladies' man, I guess.
Yes, he was a ladies' man. I said I didn't room with Stevens, I roomed with his suitcase. I just took his suitcase up for him, put it in the bag, and then I saw him when we left up. Hey, come and get your suitcase and take it back down. I kid him about that all the time. But they were two characters. Vern was really a ladies' man. He did. I don't see how he played as well as he did with
no
more sleep, than
he
got. But he really was. But he was good to me. I mean, they were good roommates. They didn't disturb me any. Of course, Stevens didn't disturb me because he wasn't in. And Krivich, they tried to get me to sue him in the room with Krivich for a while because I didn't drink at all, still don't. But and he said, if I had room with him, maybe I would have the influence. You know, he said, why don't you go to the, I'd go to the show with him after the game. And Sewell told me, he said, what you do, he said, just keep some candy bars around on there just so he can get them. But sometimes it breaks him. If he has something sweet, he don't tend not to drink so much. But I'd go to show with him one thing or another, and he'd go up and he said, well, I'll see you later. Pretty soon he'd come in a little bit loaded, but then good. He was good. I mean, yeah. Both of them, you know, they didn't bother me.
Yeah.
But they just, the idea that they were just always, you know.
Was there a story about Krivich and a priest?
I don't
know. Was he a religious guy at all? Or
No, it wasn't a priest. It was a AAA guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was. They was trying to get him to, and he'd knock on a door or something, and I would know that I was to go.
Oh,
and
I see. Okay.
I was supposed to get out of the room. Let them talk. Let them talk.
Yeah.
I don't think. Remember the priest story.
Maybe I've got that.
Well, maybe you got the story. You know, I don't remember all of it.
Well, you're doing fine so far. How about the you played when right about the time Night Baseball.
Yes. We were just kind of, that was very, I mean, it was just coming in.
Right, and you, which one did you prefer?
Brooklyn.
It was fine. I mean, did you prefer playing during the day, or did you?
Daytime. Yeah, even when I was back in coach, I'd rather play in the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
You play night ball, it upsets everything. I mean, you go to the ball game, and you get back and take a little time to unwind, and you don't go to sleep at maybe 2 o'clock, and then you get up late and have a late breakfast, and first thing you're going back to the ball game. It your timing is all
disrupts your system.
The tough part is that you play a couple of night games, 3 or 4 days, and then you play a day game. Then you set your body timer.
Yeah.
It's tough to play at night and then day.
Mm-hmm.
We used to play a night game and then play a doubleheader the next day, and
that's a little ridiculous.
Yes.
You said you didn't get any signing bonus, but what kind when you played now? Yeah. What was the most money you ever got in a year?
When I was playing,
yeah.
I think probably the biggest when I played, I got after the 1944 World Series, I signed for $7,500, and then I went to the Red Sox. I made $11,000. Yeah. I think was most money I ever made. I mean, playing.
That's not,
you sound like today, they get more meal money than that today.
What was it like dealing with Branch Rickey over a contract?
Oh, you didn't deal much with him. He said what it was. You argued with him a little bit, and then he'd tell everybody that he'd make up stories on you. I mean, he would make, in the press, he would go to the press and make you look terrible. But he would tell you, he'd try to make you think that he's doing you a favor, let you play for him. but you didn't argue with him. He didn't give very much.
Yeah. What's your opinion today of Rickey?
Well, my opinion isn't too good of Rickey. He was a nice Christian man, but he and I didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things, and he accused me of not being able to play and one thing or another. And I didn't really. He's not one of my favorite people.
Did you work in the off season?
Oh, yes.
To supplement your income?
Oh, yes. When I was in the minor league, I worked around here, of course. I sold cars, used cars for a couple of lives. And I traveled for a sporting goods company. I mean, took a load of sporting goods, different high schools around, so sporting goods company. I taught school for 2 years, and I worked on a railroad. I've done just about everything just in order to make a living. But one of the big things I did was, after I got major leagues, of course, I was a little more in demand. I refereed a lot of football and basketball. I would referee during the wintertime. I would referee 4 or 5 nights a week and make money enough to pay the rent. Of course, when you play in the minor leagues, you know, you got to pay the rent somewhere,
because
you didn't make enough in the winter and summertime to last you. But that was my income, really.
I want to ask something that happened. I'm not sure of the year, but you were with the Browns. You went to see the trainer was Bob
Bob Bowman.
Bob Bowman, and you went to go see him. You had something maybe wrong with your mouth, and
I had the itching there. He said, "Let me look at that." He was another one of mine. Fact of the matter, I love him today. He and I were great friends. He said, you've got the trench mouth. Here, give me some of that stuff. I said, what, trench mouth? Yeah, he said. So he picked up some kind of concoction. God, it was an awful taste and stuff I ever did. He said, rinse it out now. And I'd rinse it out, and pretty soon, about another inning, rinse it out again. He made me, for 2 days, I was doing that. Now, everybody in the club knew what he was doing but me. Another time, too, when I was, Frantz Locks was a radio announcer, and Ellis, who was another sports writer, and they was always kidding, we was kidding back and forth. And one time, I remember, I think it was 44, the world, anyway, John Lindell came down, there was a man on second, and a man on first. Somebody hit a ball, and John Lindell was on first, and he came and I was playing second base, and I'm a little late getting the ball, and he knocked the hell out of me. He just knocked me cool. And I laid there, I kind of laid there, and I couldn't get up, and the guy at third end finally scored. And so they kidded me about going to sleep at second base. The next day, I just started the ball game. I noticed the umpire was kind of laying, second base was kind of hanging around. Game started at 3 o'clock. The alarm clock went off around. I looked around. There was an alarm clock under second base. Along that alarm, what? Then looked up there and picked it up and said, "We thought we'd wake you up. The game's going to start." So they were all pulling things like that.
That's a good story.
Yeah, they did. We had a lot of fun playing. Mm-hmm. I think I had more fun playing now than do now. I mean, I had more fun playing than you do now. Now it's just a big business. And we played with just really the love of playing and love of wanting to play and wanting to do well.
Were you superstitious at all?
No, I don't think I was. I changed socks and I don't think I was. I had very many superstitions. Maybe sometimes if I did a certain thing when I went to bat, I went a certain way or picked up a bat a certain way or swung. Before I went and got a hit, maybe I'd do it. But I wasn't really one superstitious guy like that. A medic wouldn't step on the line, third base, and some of things like that, but I didn't.
Well, I'll tell you what, Don, we've been doing this for almost 3 hours, so we have two more questions. First of all, do you have something that you look back on as your favorite memory or your biggest thrill?
Well, no. Like I said, I've told lots of people, I think every time I walked on a ball field, it was a thrill. It really was. I mean, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. And I have a lot of fond memories. A lot of fond memories. You can see I have a lot of baseballs and signed things and pictures and things like that. But I really, there's not one particular thing that I hold very dear to me, except probably the first World Series when Don Barnes gave me the first World Series in 1944. It was my first World Series ring.
Mm-hmm.
When he presented that ring, I think that was one of my big deal, because here, all my life now, here I got it. I got it in my hand. I want it.
Okay. And on the flip side of that, is there anything, if you could go back and do something over again or change one thing, is there something that you would do again?
I don't know. I'd change. Maybe I think probably one thing maybe I was wondering, John, if I would have, at the end of my career, if I would have tried to become a radio, announcer, talk about baseball mm-hmm. on the radio or TV. I think I would kind of have liked that, because that you could go on in forever. I mean, age was nothing.
Right.
And baseball was all my life. I think if I'd had it all over to do again, maybe I would have done it. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed
what I'm doing.
Don, we were here for almost 3 hours. Thanks for your time.
Okay. I enjoyed it too, very, very much.